Morning.
Morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. So good to see you this morning. I have a few announcements to share with you before we get started. The first is to welcome Carol Sharp. She is the program director at First Presbyterian Church of downtown. She is also in the process to become a pastor, and one of the things she has to do is she has to preach in a congregation other than her own, and somebody has to kind of take notes and let her know how she's doing. Well, today is the day, and she has so graciously agreed to preach at both churches, which allowed me to not have to prepare a sermon this week. So after the service, if you want to say hi to her, that's why she's here. She will be preaching today on Jesus's baptism. If you are the treasurer of an organization, this is the time of year where you should start getting your year-end for 2019 reports together. Session. We are having our monthly session meeting today, immediately following the service, and we are going to meet in the library. I'm hoping to get started as close to 12:30 as possible, so don't go anywhere after the service. Deacons, you will be having your monthly meeting next Sunday, immediately following the service. We will also meet in the library. If you are a new officer in 2020, so even if you have already been ordained and installed, you need to come to church next Sunday so I can either install you or I can ordain and install you so you can officially begin your term of service in 2020. So please plan to attend if you are able. I think those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share?
The screen song is going to be different than what's in the bulletin.
So if you look in your bulletin under the hymn of meditation, we're not going to be singing Spirit Song. We're going to be singing Ho, All Who Thirst. The lyrics will be on the screen. You don't have to find it in the hymnal. All right, let us continue to worship God with our call to worship. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, and in the temple God's people say, Glory. The heavens opened and the Spirit descended, and a voice sounded, This is my beloved Son. Do not fear, for the Lord has spoken. I have called you by name. You are mine. Friends, let us stand and join together in our opening hymn, number 482, Baptized in Water.
Cleanse my love.
with me now in our prayer of confession. O Lord our God, you call us to work for a world where all will be fed and have dignity, but we find ourselves distracted by our own desires. You call us to seek justice and peace, but we are satisfied with injustice and discord. You call us to bring liberty to the oppressed, but we do not insist on freedom for all. Forgive us, O Lord. Turn us to your will by the power of your Spirit, so that all may know your justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Believe the good news and give thanks. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us now greet one another in faith.
Jesus comes to join and stream our voice from heaven falls. This is my will, we love. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have several requests today. We have one from Tom DeWorkin for Vicki Summers and Barb DeWorkin. Vicki has sarcoidosis, and Barb is recovering from knee surgery and back problems. So please be in prayer for them. We have one from Kathy Seggy. She's returning to work tomorrow after 8 weeks of being immobile. She's still having some pain, but glad to go back. Prayers for continued healing, but faster prayers also for working without issues. Another one from Kathy. She has a friend that had a seizure and fell and broke her nose. She is going to see a new neurologist in her area but cannot get one until mid-February. Prayers the nose heals and the seizures can be controlled. And there's another from Kathy for Sandy. She's having two procedures on Tuesday, both for her liver. Prayers for good results. I'd like to ask for prayers for Mike. He's home with a migraine today. I would also like prayers for John Neff's family. John passed away, so prayers for his wife Linda and the rest of the family. And then prayers of happiness. My son Cody is graduating early. Thursday's his last day of school, so prayers for him.
One additional update to add. So my mom had her hip replacement surgery on Wednesday. The surgery went well. There were no complications. She's at home resting and recuperating. This is going to sound really kind of silly, but the biggest problem we've been having is that her cat won't leave her alone. And we're like trying to keep the cat away from my mom's new hip. We had to put her in the garage yesterday, and she was not happy. So just continued prayers for my mom's healing. She's going to be off work, I think, for 8 weeks, which she informed me she didn't take that much time off when she had me, so this is going to be a big adjustment for her. So keep her in your prayers. At this time, friends, I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of meditation. The lyrics will be on the screen.
Thank you.
be seated. Friends, please join me in prayer. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Jesus' apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship and, forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of a new life in a broken world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this morning we pray for Pat, for Vicky, for Mark, for Kathy, for Kathy's friend, for Sandy, and for Mike. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we lift up to you the family and friends of John Neff, who passed away this weekend. Particularly, we lift up to you his wife, Linda, and his children. Lord, we pray that you be with Kathy as she returns to work. We pray that this transition would be smooth and that she is able to return. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that the tensions between the United States and Iran appear to have settled. Lord, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico who experienced devastating earthquakes this week. We pray that you'd be with them as they rebuild and that aid would come quickly. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We celebrate with Cody and his family as he graduates from high school this week. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and may we do as you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. For never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. He must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him? With all the rulers in the world, why here? Inside this stable filled with hay, why her? She's just an ordinary girl. to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved, there would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him? With all the rulers in the world, why here? Inside this stable filled with hay, why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Oh, 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 oh. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. This is such a strange way, such a strange way, strange way to save the world.
The scripture today is from Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is a reading of God's Word.
It's a joy and a privilege to be with you today. I wanted to thank Reverend DePoe and the entire congregation for hosting me. As Reverend DePoe said, this is one of many steps in the process of ordination, I'm delighted that you've welcomed me today. As we prepare to study the Word, let us pray. Holy God, by the power of your Spirit, reveal your will to us today through your Word, read and proclaimed. Help us to understand your creative, redemptive, and reconciling work, and lead us into the world filled with your Spirit to proclaim, baptize, and teach in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Imagine that you are living near the end of the first century. The Roman Empire has two classes, elites and non-elites. There is no middle class. Most of the population, 97%, fall into the class of non-elites. Domination and power are the way that the elites rule. As evidence of this, a revolt in Jerusalem a few years ago resulted in the destruction of the city and the temple. You are a member of the non-elites. Life is difficult. You can barely keep above the subsistence level because you are taxed heavily. You are a craftsperson living in the city of Antioch. It's the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Only Alexandria and Rome are larger. There is a large presence of the Roman elite in Antioch. You are a Jewish Christian, but your family has remained Jewish. There's tension between you and your family and in the community as well, because Jewish Christians are no longer welcome in the synagogue. It's the first day of the week, and you are meeting with your church community in Matthew's house. He is to orally perform his newly written gospel, which tells the story of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven, a radically different kingdom than the one you are living in. Matthew begins by listing Jesus' genealogy, going all the way back to Abraham. He tells about Jesus' birth, the visit of the Magi, the traveling to and returning from Egypt to avoid Herod's search for Jesus. The story then turns to John the Baptist, who calls for people to repent of their sins and baptizes or cleanses them in the Jordan River. John speaks about preparing the way for the one who is to come after him, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Matthew then prepares to tell his story of Jesus' baptism. So let us imagine ourselves sitting in that church community as we read the text again together. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." After telling the story of Jesus' baptism, Matthew calls an intermission. His voice is tired, and he needs a drink of water before continuing with the rest of his gospel. So, we're at an intermission. What thoughts are going through your head about Matthew's story? What conversation might you be having with the person sitting next to you? Perhaps you remark about how the story of Jesus' baptism reminded you of the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my Son, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations." The person sitting next to you agrees and says yes, and Psalm 2 as well. "I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my Son. Today I have begotten you.'" Hearing the story of the baptism of Jesus is reassuring to you. You see the connections that Matthew is making. This is part of God's plan unfolding. Perhaps you've already heard a reading of Mark's gospel, and you notice the difference in Matthew's story. Matthew's story includes a conversation between John the Baptist and Jesus. John says, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John recognizes Jesus as the one who comes after him. John recognizes that it should be Jesus who baptizes him. Jesus speaks his first words in Matthew's gospel in this exchange with John. Jesus says, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." These words, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way," reveal Jesus' understanding. This is the way it should be. Jesus uses the word "us" to convey that John is part of this significant event, and this is the way it should be done. The next words Jesus speaks are "to fulfill all righteousness." By using the word "all," Matthew is likely conveying more than one meaning. This is part of God's plan to set things right in the world. Jesus' baptism by John is showing Jesus' obedience to God. Jesus did not live a sinful life, and he did not need to be cleansed of his sin. By submitting to baptism by John, Jesus demonstrates that being the Son of God includes being a servant and identifying with those who do need to be cleansed from their sins. You take note of the amazing things that happen when Jesus comes up out of the water. When you heard the words, "And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him," you were reminded of words from Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners." And there is more. A voice from heaven speaks. It is God's voice. Something truly significant has happened. You recall from Scripture that God's voice is typically breath or wind or expressed as an echo. But here, in this verse, God is speaking. He is communicating that Jesus is the Son of God. Intermission is over. Matthew is ready to continue. Matthew tells of Jesus' temptation by the devil in the wilderness, followed by many stories of Jesus' ministry. When Matthew finishes telling of his gospel, you realize that Jesus' baptism was the public recognition of who Jesus is, and it was the inauguration of Jesus' ministry. You realize that the baptism is a beginning, a response to God's saving grace, and a call to action. So, here we are on January 12th, 2020, living approximately 2,000 years after the writing of Matthew's gospel and the story of Jesus' baptism. Matthew's audience was struggling with how to be faithful in a world that was full of change and difficult circumstances. Is our world really that different today? The world in which we live is not explicitly like the world of 2,000 years ago, and yet there are circumstances in our world that are the same. Life is hard for everyone. Some people suffer economic challenges. Others have family issues. Some suffer from addiction, depression, loneliness, just to name a few. Our culture is oriented toward consumerism and conspicuous consumption. Conspicuous consumption was also prevalent in the Roman elites, who displayed their wealth in their homes, their clothing, and their jewelry. The Roman Empire was vast in size. It's estimated that it consisted of 60 to 65 million people of very different ethnicities and cultures. People worshiped different gods. The Romans had their own imperial cult, believing Rome and its empire were agents of God's rule and will. While worshiping the Roman Empire was not required, it was strongly encouraged, and it permeated every aspect of society. Religious pluralism is on the rise in this country. In December, the Pew Research Center released results of a recent survey that identified that 65% of Americans identify as Christians. This number is down 12% since 2009. In the same span of the decade, the number of people who describe themselves as agnostics, atheists, and those without any particular religious affiliation increased from 17% to 26%. Just as the kingdom of God was a radical departure from the kingdom of the Roman Empire in Matthew's day, so it is in our world today. Our culture is one of money and power. The person with the most toys wins. Yet Jesus' ministry shows God's kingdom as radically different, one built on justice, mercy, grace, and compassion. Matthew's story of Jesus' baptism is a model for us. In Jesus' own baptism, he identified with sinners. God claimed him as a beloved son and sent the Holy Spirit to anoint Jesus for service. Through baptism, Jesus calls us to repentance faithfulness, and discipleship. Baptism is at once a means of grace, a gift of grace, and a call to respond to grace. Our baptism and living into our baptism is saying yes to God, saying yes to the call to respond to God's grace. In our baptism, we acknowledge our true identity. In one of our confessions, a brief statement of faith, the words begin, "In life and in death, we belong to God." These words confess our true identity. We belong to God eternally. Theologian Henry Nouwen writes, "You are my beloved" reveals the most intimate truth about all human beings. We are all beloved children of God. It is God who created us, God who knew us before we knew ourselves, and God who reaches out to us first, offering the gift of saving grace. Mihi Kim, a Presbyterian minister, writes, "Jesus' ministry and work were never separated from his identity as God's beloved. They were fleshed out through his connection to the beloved community. The shared life of Jesus and the beloved disciples has eternal implications. So does their continuous work of recognizing their own humanity as a sign of baptism. All their work is rooted in baptism because each is called out by the voice of love. Each is recognized in their humanity as God's beloved. This is what makes their work for the kingdom possible." Kim's words help us to see the connection between our identity, community, and our actions. Baptism means being united with Jesus Christ, with one another, and with the church. Matthew's gospel is the only place where Jesus talks about the church. Baptism is communal and marks the beginning of life in Christ and in community with other believers. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit gives the church its identity and commissions the church for service in the world. The church is the body of Christ, and we who are baptized are members of the body. The gifts of the Holy Spirit given through baptism equip us for Christian life and service. Together, as a community, we are called to action and service for the kingdom of heaven. Most of Matthew's teachings of Jesus focus on how people should live. Matthew's parable of the sheep and the goats is the illustration used for our denomination's Matthew 25 initiative. Many congregations already are engaged in Matthew 25-like work, but the Presbyterian Mission Agency's focus for 2019 and 2020 is an invitation to actively engage in the world around us in three specific areas: congregational vitality, dismantling structural racism, and eradicating systematic poverty. Recognizing the communal nature of our calling, the Matthew 25 initiative invites all congregations to this work while providing support, organizational structure, and materials that help congregations engage to live out their discipleship by acting boldly, compassionately, and fearlessly to serve people who are hungry, oppressed, imprisoned, or poor. This initiative is just one example that typifies what is required by our baptism. We are inaugurated into a life of service and work for the kingdom of heaven. It is the beginning of a new year, and often at the start of a new year, we reflect on the year that has passed, and we look forward to the year that is ahead. G.K. Chesterton, English writer and lay theologian, wrote, "The object of a new year is not that we should have a new year. It is that we should have a new soul. In this new year, may we indeed have a new soul, embracing our identity as beloved children of God, and faithfully live and listen to God's call to action, serving in ways that work toward building the kingdom of heaven." Amen.
At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, "You Belong to Christ." We're going to sing through it twice. It's number 492. Let me say a word of blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.